Second half of the People Show coming to you live from the Kintech studio. In a moment, we'll connect with Tim Murray down the Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Hotline. First call, the only call. Catching up on the inbox here, 650-650. Ho-ho, Jerry! It's happening! My worlds are colliding! Independent George. Independent George is dying. Did you see Costanza going to get a bobblehead at Yankee Stadium? It's awesome. July 6th, might have to fly out to NYC. It's awesome. George Costanza bobblehead? John, getting a strange look from Dom behind the glass. That's a great one. We won
it's
the World Series.
It's a commitment, a financial commitment.
We won the World Series, yeah, in six games. Just unimpressed George Costanza. That perfect pose. Although he wasn't looking as stocky in that bobblehead.
It would be pretty savage if you had a fat bobblehead.
Well, he's stocky. That's the term in Seinfeld. He looks pretty slim in that one. He looks like new school Jason Alexander, not old school Jason Alexander.
Speaking of bobbleheads, the wonderful people at the Seattle Mariners brought us some. There is a Edgar Martinez bobblehead behind you with a lamp, and the lamp turns on.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
How does it turn on?
No. This is not good for on radio.
No. I was curious. You struck my curiosity, and it's just without arm's reach. Tried carrying the mic halfway through. See, this is why we have studio problems. Because cowards like me strain cords like this, trying to reach 4 feet behind me. We wonder why things break here. I blame everybody else. Meanwhile, it's like I rip the headphone cord out of the jack all the time. It's like, why is my regular seat broken? But I blame Dan Riccio, because he sits over there. I'm going to be so distracted during this Tim Murray interview. I want to turn the Edgar Martinez bobblehead on. All right, but yes, big shout out to the Mariners for sending us a bunch of swag. Ken Griffey Jr. bobblehead as well. We had a Dan Wilson Funko or something like that somewhere in there as well. Yeah. Oh, you guys kept that one for yourselves behind the glass? Smooth. Smooth. All right. We mentioned the bracket. You can join. At Sportsnet650 on our Twitter page, at Dominic Schermatti or Dom Schermatti?
Dom Schermatti.
Dom Schermatti. If you're on the Sleeper app, search in the bracket page at Sportsnet650. You can join our bracket. If you don't know what you're doing, you're just, hey, do I just pick vibes? You want a little bit of a refresher so you know, hey, should I pick Tulane over Duke? Should I pick this 9 seed to go to the Sweet 16? We got you covered now. Tim Murray joins us from the VSiN Sports Betting Network at One Tim Murray on Twitter, on social. Give him a follow. Joining us now. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year as we all try to figure out how to get the perfect bracket, which, of course, none of us will succeed in doing. But we can try. As of right now, we're all perfect.
What are the odds on that again? I always forget. Is it like 13 million or something like that?
I think we're in the billions. I think it's like 9 billion to 1. I think you could like get struck by lightning 6 times before filling out the perfect bracket.
63 correct guesses. All right, so let's get to it. Let's start at 1 and work our way backwards. Not that we're going to go through 64 teams here in these next 10 minutes, but if you're filling out a bracket and the people are listening, well, why shouldn't people put UConn all the way through to the final, win the final, and you know they won last year, veteran squad. Well, why won't UConn win?
It's a great question. I think you could look at it a multitude of ways. First, we haven't had a repeat champion in almost 20 years. That was Florida, 06 and 07, so it's hard to repeat. I think secondly, more from a bracket breakdown, the bracket's hard, man. I think the East region, the selection committee, which, look, we could get into a lot of gripes on the mistakes that the committee made, which were many on Sunday, in my opinion. That said, they gave the defending national champion and number one overall seed, in my opinion, no easy road. You look at the 2 seed is Iowa State, who is fresh off of winning the Big 12 tournament. Iowa State comes in number 5 in KenPom. Per KenPom, they're the highest rated number 2. Their 3 seed in that region is Illinois. Per KenPom, the highest rated 3 seed at number 10. And then number 4, guess what? The highest rated number 4 seed per KenPom Auburn, really, really good metrically. Fourth in adjusted defensive efficiency, 10th in offensive efficiency. So, you know, from just the breakdown of the bracket, it's not that easy. I do think, you know, Florida Atlantic got overseeded, to be honest. I thought they would be more on the 10 line. But that being said, this is a Florida Atlantic team that some believed was a preseason top 10 team. I think the AP poll had them in the preseason top 10, and that should be their second round, or could be, I should say, their second round showdown. So, look, UConn's the best team in the country. You know, if you go ahead and put UConn all the way as your champion, I'm not going to fault you. And then lastly, I would say this. If you're in a pick'em pool in your office, everybody's going to pick UConn. So, you know, I think, honestly, you know, to be a little different would be another reason why you would probably go with someone other than UConn, because they are the best team. They're the only one seed to win their respective conference tournament. And it certainly feels like, for the most part, this UConn team, I don't want to say unbeatable, but is pretty darn close to it the way that they've been playing this entire year.
So you mentioned there about the conference tournaments. Is there a one seed you're concerned about the longevity in this tournament?
Yeah, I think you start with North Carolina. I think metrically they're the worst one seed. I don't even think that's an argument. That's a fact. The three one seeds that we knew coming in, which were pretty much locked in, were UConn, Houston, and Purdue. And then the fourth one seed was very much up in the air. Was it going to be Arizona? For a while, we thought it could be Tennessee. And ultimately, it's North Carolina, a team that, you know, lost to North Carolina State in the ACC championship final. Do I think that's a be-all, end-all to lose your conference championship? Absolutely not. But, you know, I look at this, you know, UNC team. They're very good. Are they elite? No, I don't think so. I look at UNC, and you look at the West region. For the most part, I think the West region is relatively up in the air. When I have a lot of questions, you know, with the two seed in that region in Arizona, if you look at some of their losses that they've had throughout the season as well. But yeah, most vulnerable one, I would probably say is North Carolina. And look, history is going to tell us that, you know, one of these one seeds will get knocked off this weekend. If you could tell me the answer, that would be nice. But, you know, you look at Purdue last year, of course, losing in the opening round to Fairleigh Dickinson. So history tells us one of these one seeds will definitely get knocked off this weekend. And I think UNC could be the most vulnerable. Do I have them going out in the second round? I do not. But I could see North Carolina getting tripped up.
How much stock do you put into, you know, teams having success in that conference tournament going into March Madness? Because, you know, like, there's a sizable break here, so you can cool off. Not everyone's going to go on a, you know, 2011 Kemba Walker like run here and push their team into the bracket and start having some success here. Are you fading the teams that do well in the conference tournament?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think it's kind of an inexact science, because we have seen it before. Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier, both at UConn, both having tremendous runs in conference tournaments and carrying that all the way over to a national championship. But we've also seen in plenty of years teams, you know, look, UConn won the national championship last year. They lost in the semifinals of the Big East tournament to Marquette. And then they ran through the NCAA tournament whatever analogy you want to use. I mean, they eased their way through a six game stretch. But I'll give you an example of a couple teams. You know, New Mexico's a team that I've been high on all year. They went out and won the Mountain West tournament. And, you know, very surprisingly, the committee came out and said that New Mexico was a bid thief, which I thought was absolutely crazy that they had to win the Mountain West tournament. But they did so. And they won that conference tournament. And now you look at New Mexico, who's an 11 seed in that West region, and they're the favorite in their game against Clemson. Another team that won their conference tournament that I do like in the opening round is Drake. Drake won the Missouri Valley Conference. Now, all in all, it'll probably be almost 2 weeks until since they have played a game. They're the 10 seed in the East region playing Washington State. They flipped to a favorite as well. I do like the fact that Drake is a veteran team. They were here last year, and they were up by 8 with 5 minutes to go against Miami and got outscored 17-1 down the stretch. Their best player, Tucker DeVries, their head coach's son, Missouri Valley Player of the Year for second consecutive year. And last year in the NCAA tournament, he probably had the worst game of his college career. He went 1 of 13 from the field, scored a career-low 3 points. So I think you get a better effort from a player like that, who I'm sure it's eating at him how poorly he performed last year in you know, the NCAA tournament. But you know, I'll give you one team that I'm a bit worried about that did win their conference championship. It's Illinois. Illinois, tremendous offensively, but they do have trouble at times defensively. You look at some of their metrics, they're near 100 in adjusted defensive efficiency, and they're the 3 seed in the East region. And I think, you know, playing Morehead State, you've seen the market take a little Morehead State money. That number has come down to around 12, 12 and a half is the point spread. And I think Morehead State, the champs of the Ohio Valley Conference, I think they could put a little bit of a scare into Illinois. So, yeah, it's an inexact science. You know, some teams that do extremely well, maybe they run out of gas going into the NCAA tournament, and then other teams, you know, ride that hot hand. And, you know, lastly, back to New Mexico, I think the reason I think they could make a little bit of a run here is because they have such strong guard play. And, you know, like we saw with, you know, UConn, those multiple instances, I think you can carry that guard play over and make a little bit of a run.
Talking to Tim Murray from VSiN here on The People Show on Sportsnet 650, getting set for March Madness, which gets going this week. This process of filling out the brackets, people get enamored with the Cinderella story. So I guess this is a two-part question. The Cinderella team that you're looking at that you think is being overlooked right now, and I guess the underdog type team that you think is getting too much hype, that everyone's saying this is the sexy upset pick, and you just don't buy it.
Yeah, I'll start with the latter there. You know, James Madison is a team that came on the scene early on in the year, won their opening game on the road at Michigan State. Went out and won 31 games, and the Dukes are going to be a 12 seed playing Wisconsin. And I saw a couple sports books saying that the most popular dog so far, one of the most popular dogs, is James Madison. Look, they are a very, very good team. I'm not taking anything away from the Sun Belt champions, but I think what we saw from Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament is who they are and what they're capable of, you know, beating Purdue in the semifinals, ultimately losing to Illinois. But I thought, you know, for the most part, we're right there with it. Felt like Wisconsin got a little bit of that swagger back. So, look, I get it. 12s over 5s have been the way to go historically. Last year, believe it or not, 5s went 5-4-0 against the 12s. All of them covered as well, covering the point spread. But I do think James Madison is interesting. But I don't love him. I'll give you one. I haven't heard much about him. But I'm going to shut it down real quickly. Colgate, the 14 seed in the West region, they're the champs of the Patriot League. They've been in the NCAA tournament, I believe, the last 5 tournaments we've had. This is not their best team. They have, in recent years, been a, you know, top 100, even sometimes top 60 offensive team. This year, they were 211 in offense. I think they get blown out by Baylor in that opening round. You're going to look at Colgate. You're going to know the name. You know that they've been here before, and you're going to think, all right, well, here they are again. Maybe they're going to give a little bit of scare into Baylor. I really don't believe so. I'm not one to lay points with favorites all that often, but Baylor was one of those that I did like. As for a underdog that maybe isn't getting enough love, I like UAB. UAB is the 12th seed in the East region. They just won the American Athletic Conference. I liked what I saw from the Blazers down the stretch. I think they're battle-tested. You know, looking in that conference where they split their season series with Florida Atlantic, they beat South Florida in the semifinals, a team that was, you know, ranked in the top 25, you know, just a couple weeks ago. And then they're playing San Diego State, a team that the metrics love, but I think they're getting a little bit too much love based off of what they were able to do last year, making that run all the way to the national championship game. So I think UAB, not only as a 7-point underdog, can cover that spread, I think the Blazers can win it outright against San Diego State in Spokane.
Last two for you here. Is there like a this year's version of UConn? Because they really came on strong in that tournament, but they weren't like a number one seed. Is there something you're looking at saying like this could be the team that grows through the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think Auburn is an interesting one because they're, you know, a 4 seed, which is what UConn was last year. And metrically, Auburn is tremendous. I mean, they're 4th in the country in KenPom. Obviously, they're in the East region, and they would have to play UConn in order to get to the Elite Eight. But I think Auburn, we saw them in the SEC tournament, just looked the part every single which way. And I think the peak of Auburn and how well they played for the most part at home this year, The highs of Auburn are elite. So I do think a team like Auburn could make a run all the way to the Final Four. And we've seen Bruce Pearl, whether it was, you know, early stops in his career at UW-Milwaukee or, you know, Tennessee, or now with Auburn, he is a tournament coach. And I think he is a team, Auburn is a team as a four, like UConn was last year, that I think could make a run all the way to the Final Four.
Last one, they always have a little bit of charm, and, you know, regionally, Gonzaga, close here to Vancouver. Thoughts on Gonzaga this year as a five seed?
Yeah, I saw Gonzaga up close and personal at the West Coast Conference Championship game here in Las Vegas, and not that impressive of a performance, but you know, once again, kind of similar to Auburn, maybe not all the way, but you know, Gonzaga at its best. You know what we saw the last game of the regular season when they dismantled St. Mary's in Moraga, California. Look, I think Gonzaga at their best can make a run, and I like the bracket or the region that they're in. You know, they go to Salt Lake City, so they will, I'm sure, have some fan presence there in Salt Lake City. Challenging 12 seed in McNeese State, Will Wade, their head coach, the former LSU head coach that won 30-plus games this year, did the Cowboys. But if you get past that, I think Kansas, with the lack of depth, with the injury concerns that the Jayhawks do have, I think this Gonzaga team, look, the metrics love Gonzaga. You could say early on in the year, in January or so, they were maybe a little bit overvalued. But, you know, this is a Gonzaga team that I took a flyer on a couple weeks ago to make a run to the Final Four. They're top 10 in the country in offensive efficiency. It felt like when they got, you know, went to Rupp Arena and beat Kentucky, that they got a little bit of that swagger back, and you started to see some big time scoring performances. You know, they dismantled San Francisco, a pretty quality West Coast Conference team, you know, at on the, you know, Golden State Warriors floor there. So look, you know, we saw St. Mary's kind of bottle them up in that championship game, but at their peak, you know, when they played San Francisco in the semifinals of the West Coast Conference tournament, I think this has a team that, you know, has the capabilities of making a run. And let's not forget, you know, Gonzaga year after year, even though people across the country like to give them flack, this is a Gonzaga team that has continued to have success in the NCAA tournament and has made it to the Sweet 16, I believe, 9 straight seasons. So yeah, I could certainly see the Zags making it to the second weekend. I do think Graham Ike, their big center, is going to have a big game against McNeese State in the opening round.
Hey, Tim, this was fantastic. Actually, really quickly, who's your winner?
Yeah, I'm trying to be a little bit different, as I alluded to. So I'm going to go Houston. I love this Houston team. You know, they do make me worried a little bit from the offensive standpoint. They can get bogged down. I was stunned to see them get blown out by Iowa State. Did not see that coming. But I do think this is a tough team, incredibly well-coached team with Kelvin Sampson, great defensive team. If they run into a team that gets hot from the outside, that could be their downfall like it was last year against Miami. But just being a little bit against the grain, I know they're still a one seed, but you know, we started this conversation, if anyone can beat UConn, I do think Houston has the capabilities and has the veteran presence to potentially cut down the net. So I'll roll with Kelvin Sampson's squad to get a national championship, as they were battle-tested, best conference in the country in the Big 12. They won it outright in the regular season, and I will take the Houston Cougars to be the national champs.
He's Tim Murray from VSiN, at 11 Tim Murray on Twitter. We really appreciate it, and enjoy the weekend.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Tim Murray joining us here on The People's Show. Feeling prepped now? Feeling sturdy of your March Madness pick come this week? Playing games getting going this week too, but also the real show, the big dance, Thursday, best time of the year. Playoffs upcoming. March Madness. Even if you're not, you don't know what's going on, you know the stakes. You know some seniors, their careers coming to a close, and you know it's a lot of fun, March Madness. Plus the buzzer beaters and everything like that. It all gets going on Thursday.
Another guy's name and dudes we could do random March Madness heroes.
Heroes?
Yeah, guys that just like you remember from March Madness, but nothing else. Like Shabazz Napier, perfect example.
Yeah, I remember a Villanova guard, Mike Nardi.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah.
Brady Heslop?
Oh, Brady Heslop.
Jimmer didn't go very far, though.
No, he didn't.
So he wasn't much of a hero.
Came from the Wandong Tigers, I believe.
If you just want to name college basketball players, hey, Friday, we got you covered.
Oh,
guys naming dudes.
And, wrestlers.
And we'll be
college.
We'll be doing the show. Like, some buzzer
March
beaters
Madness.
Are going to be going down.
It's great.
Pumped up for Friday and Thursday.
This is like my favorite sports time of the year. Is this week?
I'm a spring person over a fall person.
Yeah,
I do love that it's like the height of everything, because you got football season underway, height of baseball, hockey season starting,
MLS playoffs,
everything. I do like this part because, you know, hockey playoffs are kind of coming up, basketball playoffs coming up, but then you get the little appetizer, right? We don't know what's going on, March Madness. I'm not tracking it every single day. But it's a little sample, a little sampler of, like, what clutch means. And then you step right into the NHL playoffs. You're like, all right, now we know what's going on. Now it's pedal to the metal all the way till the end of June. Who's going to win? 650. Someone texted in about our discussion with the bracket last year. Who's so cheap, whether they know the sport or not, to not pay a measly $5? Have you seen prices of everything right now? I got to hold on to that fiver, man.
No carbon tax on our entry fee. No, we're not taxing you on the $5.
Again, at Dom Tremati on Twitter, at Sportsnet650, or go to your Sleeper app, great fantasy app, and sign in that way. Search at Sportsnet650 on the app, and you can join our March Madness bracket. Listeners are in for free.
Unless they want to do some friendly, you know, betting between them. Yeah. No, the $5 is for
staff
650
only.
Employees.
Staff only. Do we have some swag for a potential winner, or should I just already claim it now? There we go.
Okay, relax.
Back-to-back champ. It's coming up. People show. It's over. Dan Riccio, Satya Shah are on the way. Well, I'm out of time. What do you want me to do? Dan Riccio, Satya Shah on the way. Don Taylor joins them on Mondays.
Will the mics work? Will they not?
No, the mics work. They fixed it. Shout out to our staff here.
The engineers. Fantastic.
While we were talking to Tim there, just managing it perfectly, talking while Tim was talking, shutting up while I was talking, getting it fixed, everything sorted. So Dan Riccio, he's very particular, Dan. He can't have...
Oh, yeah.
He can't have one thing going wrong in the studio.
Prima donna.
I can...
Adapt.
I'm flexible.
Yeah.
Right? I'll adapt. If I need to turn on the Edgar Martinez lamp on, I will. I can figure things out. Dan Riccio, you throw Reach a curve, he's going swinging down in the count.
Yeah, he's the Javi Baez of hosts.
so he's coming up with Satya Shah. Canucks Central, they got you covered till 6 o'clock here on the home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650.